We are currently going through the scripture and just tracking this, what I call the story of God. And actually, we've got some great friends from my friends from Waverley Abbey. Some of you might have mentioned this. I'm doing a little bit of study at the moment, and got some good friends visiting today that I've met at Waverley Abbey. And actually, Linda will recognise that I'm ripping this off from some of the stuff I learned about 15 years ago from Philip Greenslade, who I've mentioned also a few times. So it's all good stuff. This is good, just the story of God through the whole of the scriptures. So we've got as far as Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read that. And I pray this morning that we would encounter God through the scriptures, just as Moses encountered God in a burning bush, that we would encounter God as we read the scriptures. And it's not so much about, it's just about God. It's about God. So let's read this together. It says this: Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of a wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire, that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way of the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that is, it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people of Egypt out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me. From generation to generation. Now, I'm not sure that I've ever seen a burning bush or a burning tree. I don't know if any of you have. I was in California just a month and a bit ago, as you know, and what I did see there was the effects of devastating forest fires. I was riding my bike through this beautiful countryside, but I was noticing that there wasn't a lot of trees, a lot fallen down, and I got talking to a lady and she said, yeah, there was a massive forest fire here, and basically it completely wiped all the what should have been forest there. It was actually just sort of open space. So I've seen that. I've also, if you've been to Chobham Common here, there was a fire probably about 6 years ago, I think now. It jumped across the road, and even now you can see the blackened tree stumps there. Yeah, so I've seen that. And even if you go down to the canal near us, there was a fire a couple of years ago. Not quite as big as a forest fire, but it was significant enough to get quite a few fire engines out. But I didn't see it. Never seen a burning bush. Seen the effects of burning bushes. You've seen a burning bush?
A lot. It's a normal thing.
Oh, okay. Standard. All right, but...
not devastating forest wood. We set the wood for...
Oh, you do it deliberately.
You want to burn, you burn it, and then...
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wouldn't go to their garden, necessarily, but... okay, I understand, yeah. But this is not what Moses saw, though, is it? He saw a bush that was burning, but it wasn't burning. So that's slightly different to these things that we're seeing. So he stops to see what's going on. I mean, what else would you do? You know, where you know, you see a bush that's burning, but it isn't burning. We're all good at rubbernecking, right? You know, you're on the motorway, and you see a car or an accident. Or what you do, no, this is what we do. We get frustrated with the queue of traffic, and we think, why is everybody stopping to look at this thing here? Don't we? And then we slow down, think, why is everyone slowing down to look at that? There's nothing to look at. And everything gets, because we're good at that, right? We're all good at sort of looking at these things. Or, I don't know anyone else does this, but it's like twitching curtain syndrome. Yeah, there's an ambulance. Ooh, there's an ambulance outside number 5. You know, because these things get our attention. It's the whole way social media works, isn't it? You know, there's just something that grabs our attention on the screen, and we think, oh, I need to look at that. You don't really need to look at that, but that's how it works. And we're good at getting distracted. And so Moses, he's seen this thing, and in a way he's kind of distracted by it. I wonder what's going on over there. There's a bush that's burning, but it's not burning. That's interesting. So he goes over and he starts looking. So we're all good at doing that. But I wonder how good we are at doing the other thing that Moses did, where he's like, he's stopping and taking a moment and seeing, what is God doing in this? What's God doing in this moment? There's something happening that's a little bit different. I wonder what God's doing here. Because those moments happen from time to time, don't they? Have you experienced that? You know, when I'm learning to just appreciate the moments where that's a bit odd. I didn't expect that to happen. I wonder whether God's in that. Let's just ask him that question. I wonder whether God's in that moment. You know? It could be just a conversation you're having. And somebody says something. This happened to me at Wavy Abbey, actually, last time we were there. I was just sitting chatting to my friend Jonathan. And he just said something. I thought, He was just chatting. But I thought, I recognise God speaking in that. Yeah, I don't know if anyone else had that experience. Or it could just be something that happens, and you think, well, that's a bit out of the ordinary. Or it could just be something that takes you by surprise. I'll give you another example for me. When I was Isabel's age, and Gabriella's age, in fact, but I'm thinking you're looking at universities, right? And so I was going around looking for universities. I was a bit odd at that age. I was very set on what I wanted to do. I wanted to become a sound engineer. As you can see, that was very successful. So there was a course at Surrey University, still is, called the Tom Meister course, 4-year course. You had to have maths, physics and music to get on the course. So I took maths, physics and music. That's the only reason I didn't. Well, I liked those subjects. I was a nerd. But that's why I did those subjects, so I could get on that course, Surrey University. Remember that. So I went to Surrey University and I looked around. It's okay. But then you have to look at some other places on your application. So I went and looked at Royal Holloway. You might notice a theme here. I don't really look far afield. Royal Holloway in Egham, Surrey University. I did go to York. It was very cold. So
it was cool when we went there. It was like bright sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Don't let it fool you. and then I also looked at City University in London. Again, not that far away. Now, some of us went to City University. Having been to York, it's a beautiful place. Surrey University, fair enough. But City University is basically, the main building is a 60s concrete block. Yeah? And there is a metal walkway that connects that to a slightly more beautiful building, but not that much more beautiful when you're in the music department, which is in the basement, which is just like air conditioning ducts. That was my experience of London University, the university. But I'm walking along this metal walkway between the canteen and this building, and I can remember distinctly saying to my mum, this is where I think I need to be. And there was nothing appealing about the building or the surroundings or anything, but I'm just, as I look back, I'm thinking, That's a bit weird. Why has, and even now I could take you to that exact, do you remember it has a sort of a bend around the corner? I could take you to that exact spot if it's still there and say, this is where I said to my mum, something about this, I need to be here. Which I ended up meeting my wife and some other great people, and you know, stuff. You know, stuff happened there. But you know, God sometimes just gets our attention with a metal walkway. Yeah. Anyway, so long story to get. Moses, he sees this bush, he gets interested, and then God sees that he's got his attention. Ah, he's looking. He hasn't just walked past. And then so God speaks to Moses from the bush. Now that's going to be a good story when you get home, right? You know, you could get home and say, do you know what? God really spoke to me today. You imagine Moses' family kind of going, oh, right. Were you reading the scriptures? No. Were you praying? No. Were you in church or in the synagogue? Not that we had church or synagogue those days, but no. Well, how did you speak? Well, yeah, God spoke to me through a bush that was burning, but it wasn't burning. You're thinking, okay. Yeah? Ever met those kind of people? Yeah? God spoke to me in a burning bush that wasn't burning. Yeah? And we usually kind of go, okay. Yeah? There's another church down the road that they're much better dealing with that kind of thing. You know, we tend to think, fruitcake. Well, I do anyway. But maybe don't dismiss that. Don't dismiss that. How does that sound? It may sound a bit wacky, but actually God sometimes speaks to us through these things. So anyway, Moses embraces what's going on. He stops to see this great sight, and then boom, he's on holy ground. Because God then says to him, look, don't move any closer. Take your shoes off. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so Moses, and he gets now what's going on, and he's afraid. He knows he's in a holy moment, and God's speaking to him. And then God starts saying stuff like, you know, like we looked at last time, how God's heart is for those who are in being oppressed. And he says, I've seen the misery. I've heard their crying. And he says to Moses, I've come down to rescue my people from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them to a spacious land flowing with milk and honey. And that's the direction of God's movement. He comes down. He comes down. It's his way of rescue. He comes to us. He reaches out to us. Now, if I was Moses, I'm thinking, if I was Moses, I'm not Moses. He's not me. But I'm thinking, great. Not sure why you're telling me. But this is good news. I look forward to seeing the results. Maybe Moses is thinking, you know, can I go now? Bear in mind, he's really afraid. I'm thinking, I just want to get out of this. Anyone else feel that kind of way? You know, this is kind of unsettling. So if he speaks to this to Moses. He says, I'm coming down to sort this out. And then he says to Moses, so now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And if I'm Moses, I'm thinking, hang on a second. You said you're coming down. And now you say to me, I want you to go. That's not, I thought you were coming. So then Moses replying, he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I, says Moses? That is a really good question. Who am I to do this? Who am I to do anything, says Moses? What can little old me do? Did anyone else ask that question? Who am I? Who am I? A really well-trained musician who wanted to be a sound engineer. Coming, who am I to preach? Who am I to do anything? Who am I to tackle a big problem? And in one sense, it's completely understandable for Moses to think like this, because in the big scheme of things, he's just some bloke. Like all of us, we're just some person. But the thing is, when God comes down, it's when God comes down and says, I will be with you, then that opens up the door for all kinds of interesting possibilities. That's what makes the difference. Moses says, who am I? Well, I tell you who you are, Moses. You're the one that God has called. You're the one I'm calling, says God. You're the one that I'm choosing, says God. You're the one that I'm instructing. You're the one that I'm empowering. You're the one I'm sending. That's who you are, Moses. Just letting you know. But actually, when we stop and think about it, isn't that all of us? You know, hasn't Jesus come down? Hasn't he become Emmanuel, God with us? Hasn't he called us? Hasn't he chosen us? Hasn't he instructed us? Hasn't he empowered us by the Spirit? Hasn't he sent us by, you know, his instruction to go? Didn't know I had that much in common with Moses. Who am I? It's a really good question. Who am I? It's the kind of thing we're talking about wavering as well. Who am I? What's going on? But actually, enough of Moses and who he is. His real identity is actually in who God is. Because he says, well, who shall I say sent me? What's his name? And God, this is God's answer, famous answer that God gives. When God's asked, who are you? Who shall I say sent me? God says, say, I am. I am who I am. That's really helpful, isn't it? Yeah, really, really helpful. Who sent you? I am who I am. Sent what? Say it again. I am who I am. Yeah, he said that. What? What does that mean? People have pondered that. What does it mean to be I am who I am? It means, and I'll give you my definition, it means you can't quite pin down what it means. That's what it means. So slightly more helpfully, but only slightly more helpfully, in verse 15, God says, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent you. You see that word Lord in your Bibles? You got that there? You notice it's all in capitals. Special word. Bit of Bible nerdy knowledge for you, okay? Every time you see Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters in your Bible, it's our English translation of this kind of mysterious name for God, which then gets translated sometimes Yahweh or Yahweh, which is just the consonants, got that right. And it's all connected with this idea that God is I am who I am, which is the idea that actually you can't quite pin down who he is. Leaves more questions than answers. A lot of us don't like that, particularly in our type of church. Evangelicals, we like to be able to say, it is this and it is that only, and we're going to do that way. But actually, God's sort of saying, yeah, it's just a bit beyond your... It's a bit beyond you. That's who I am. It's a bit mysterious. But what I can say about this God, because you're thinking, oh, this is not very helpful. Well, next time you see a burning bush, that's helpful as well. But, you know, I think actually what I can tell you about the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters, Yahweh, I am who I am, is that rather than being understood by a name or a title, been thinking about this recently, you know, some churches have their whole vision statement is in their title. Have you noticed that? It's like the Blessed Redeemer Church of the Holy Spirit, Prophetic Ministries, and something else incorporated. And it's like this, you think, how on earth do you fit that even on a web page, let alone on the front of your building? And that's their name, because they're trying to describe who they are. But God just says, I am who I am. So rather than trying to understand him so much in the title or his name or a series of names, which actually they are helpful to a certain degree, actually the way of knowing this I am is actually to follow in his way, to walk with him, and then just to be constantly surprised by burning bushes along the way and thinking, oh, yeah, he's like that. And oh, yeah, he's even more like that. And so this idea, I am, this idea of Yahweh is like an invitation to follow, because Moses has been given an instruction, go and do this. So if he follows this, then Moses is about to experience really who God is. This burning bush is just the opening door to it. But as he goes and walks with God and follows him, it's like, oh, he's like this. Oh, he does that. Oh, this is what he's like. Oh, this is how he speaks. Oh, this is how he acts. And we can't all take it all in one name or in one sermon or one reading of one thing. We have to walk with God. And as we walk with God, we'll see more of his heart. Ah, that's who I am. And as we walk with him more, we'll see his power at work. Oh, he does that as well. And we'll see more of his character, and we'll see more of his nature. And we'll see then also more of who he's making us to be. Because remember, we're made in his image. Who am I? said Moses. Well, you're going to find out. You're going to find out because I'm going to start to show you who I've made you to be. But in that understanding, we'll never quite pin him down, and we'll never quite pin ourselves down in that sense. But we're growing into that. We're growing into it. And just to conclude, you remember Jesus said to the disciples, come follow me. He says that to all of us, doesn't he? Come follow me. And they all kind of went, yeah, okay. Which is a bit odd in itself. They had day jobs. But they followed him. But every time a person says, come follow me, this part of me just thinks, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. If we do this properly, if we follow Jesus like how he says to follow him, there's that kind of mysterious, like, I am stuff going on. In that, we're continually like, oh, there's just supposed to be more and more burning bush revelation as we go along. And sometimes it doesn't always feel like that, I'll be honest with you. But he continually invites us as we read the scriptures, as we talk. Sometimes it's those conversations. Sometimes it's those moments. Sometimes it's like Florian experienced last week. He's standing in the water. Anybody else want to be baptized? And he's just about, almost probably just about to get out because nobody normally does. Three people jump in. Well, not quite jump in, but you know what I mean. Oh, this is how God works. Just like our friends at the Beacon, just like we've experienced, like sometimes just money almost seems to drop out of the air. Not always, but sometimes. Like, this is how God's providing. Come follow me. Be invited into this great adventure, this great story that God's writing in our lives and through the scriptures. Let's pray. Lord, there's a lot going on here in this passage that we've just read. And we pray, Lord, open our eyes to see you. When you're trying to get our attention, forgive us, Lord, where in the past we've just walked past and thought, oh, it's just a burning bush over there. It's not burning, but never mind, it's not burning, so I'm okay. I'll keep going. But Lord, let us be captivated by what you're trying to get our attention with. Let us learn to notice those holy moments and to dwell in them. And as we do that, that we would go deeper into who you are. In those moments, we would encounter you and understand more of what we don't understand. And so we pray, open our hearts to receive you. We pray, Lord, as we move forward with you, as we journey with you, as we follow you, you would continue to expand our eyes and our hearts to see and to know and to experience who you are, even though you are so great and so vast. And I pray as we know and see you more, that we would know who we are more and grow into who you've made us to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope I've made some sense today. Daniel's going to lead us to communion in a second, but just before he does that, there's a quote that one of my favourite authors is Henry Nouwen. You may have come across him. And actually, in doing some reading for the course I'm on, there was a quote of his that he said of spiritual formation, which is what I'm engaging. He said, I think I get this right, he said, spiritual formation is an articulate unknowing of God. Meaning, it is a growing understanding of the vastness of who God is, I think. An articulate unknowing of God. It's more like the more we know of him, the more we realise we don't know. Does that make sense? Yeah? And that's the scary, but at the same time exciting.